This is a classic verse often read, Habakkuk 2:4. It says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright." When somebody's soul is lifted up, they're full of pride. They're running their own show. They have superior concept about themselves. "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now this, "the just shall live by faith," is in the scripture four times. One time here and three times in the New Testament. "The just shall live by faith." There's one dramatic difference that you should notice here. This is the only occasion where it says the just shall live by his faith. In other words, you have to have faith. And faith comes by hearing the word, by believing what God is saying, by holding fast to what God is saying. So the just shall live by his faith. Now, a lot of times people want to live by your faith. And I can add my faith to yours, and I'm glad to do that. But you got to give me something to work with.
Yes.
Unless the gift of healing falls, and though we've not talked about that, we will eventually. The gift of healing is God just gives it to you irregardless of where you are in life. And he has purpose, he has reason. We leave that to him. His soul, which is lifted up. In other words, this is not a matter of pride. This is a matter of just trusting God, living by faith in God. So it's not a matter, I can do this. Pride always says, I can do this. I can do this. Now look at Romans 1:17. I think we've already found out we couldn't do it, right? That trust in God is the way to go. Using your own faith. His faith. His faith, his faith. I actually want to do Galatians first. Is that all right with you? Galatians 3. I want to show you something similar. Verse 11. "That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident." This is obvious, in other words. "The just shall live by faith." Now, whereas you can't be justified by law, that's by my own effort, my own ability to keep all the rules, my own perfection. And said it didn't going to happen that way. It just didn't going to happen that way. And it says earlier, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, I think you've already found out that you can't keep all the rules, that you've broken some. This is a self-help plan. I'll do it myself. I can do this. Well, scripture says if it depends upon you. You know, did you go to Sunday school like I did when you were a kid? Did they give you stars for perfect attendance? Did they? Do you know, as nice as that is to a little kid, you're not going to make heaven because you had stars. You're not going to make heaven because you read your Bible. We had to read our Bible every day, and we had to check that off, that we read our Bible. It says, "The just shall live by faith." Now, how much living do you do in 24 hours? Which of those hours would be dead hours?
Sleeping.
Absolutely none. So that means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year, you're living by faith. Life is a faith adventure. It's trusting God, trusting his word. The just shall live, not by self-effort, not by keeping, as much as I believe in doing the right thing, making the right decision, it isn't going to heal you. Okay, now look back to Romans 1. We've already found out pride and self-effort is not going to heal you. Romans 1:16 verse says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." It's talking about the gospel, the good news. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's talking about the good news. It's talking about the plan and purpose of God. He's talking about salvation. Now, the word salvation is a really big word. It's a really large word. It means a lot more than getting saved and getting to go to heaven. Here's your definition of save and salvation. It means to save, to deliver, to protect, to make whole, to heal, to preserve, to do well. That's my favorite. To do well. It covers, salvation covers every arena of your life. God didn't save you so you could struggle along and eventually make heaven, get this out of the way, get life out of the way. No, it says, "The just shall live by faith." That is the next verse. Therein, no, it's in the gospel. is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That tells you that faith is progressive. Faith grows. There's the beginning of faith. Faith at the beginning to the power of living by faith, one translation says. Faith at the beginning, that's the day you accepted Christ your Savior and Lord and put your faith in Him, trust in Him, all the way to all the faith you gather as you read God's Word, as you grow in God's Word, as you live by faith. Live by faith. That's from now till eternity opens. And that includes what? Includes health and healing, because Jesus died to heal you, as well as to forgive and remit sins. It includes doing well in life, because He died that you might have peace, shalom, a successful journey through life. It includes safety and protection, deliverance. And it's all what? By keeping the law? No, Galatians said that won't work for you. Well, you've already figured that out, right? By pride in what you can do? Have you ever met somebody who thought they were such a wonderful person? Do you know them? Thought they were such a wonderful person? So much to contribute to life? And they would help you if you had let them? Do you know them? Run. Run as fast as you can, because there's no helper like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. Now turn to Hebrews 10. I'm just proving to you the just. You're the just. That's those that have been born again. The word just is also the word right. And you know, if you're just, it has to be right. If you're right, it has to be just. You can see that it's just one word in the Greek language. Justification and righteousness are just one word. If you're justified, you're righteous. Righteousness is being made fully acceptable to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you walk in that sacrifice. You walk by faith in that sacrifice, not by faith in your own effort, your own ability. Now it says, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Now, how did Habakkuk tell us it was important? The just shall live by his faith. In other words, I can add my faith to yours, but you got to give me something to hold on to, unless the gift of healing comes. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That means anybody retreat. A successful beginning. Well, we like successful beginnings, but you've got to walk it out to the end and get somebody that'll walk with you. Now, faith comes by the word of God. Now, one lady told me her husband was a heavy drinker and he did the bars at night. And she said that the scripture told her to go to the bar with him because we have to submit to our husband. Do you understand that is not what God said nor meant? But faith comes from the Word, not man's interpretation of the Word, but God's revelation of the Word in your heart, what He reveals to you, what He says to you. And you hold on to what God says, and you're going to live by what God says. And it says you're not going to draw back. You're not going to retreat. Well, everybody draws back, retreats from time to time. And you know how you retreat? With your words. This is the worst day of my life. I hurt all over. So what you're doing is believing for something that you don't really want. You got your faith out there that this is the worst day of your life, and that is not what you wanted at all. Don't put your faith out in something you don't want. Put it out in the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. It comes by hearing God's Word. Isaiah 53:1, he said, did any man believe our report? It's translated, anybody believe what I told you, what you heard from me? Did you believe that? And then he tells you what happens to the believers. Anybody believe my report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yeah. The arm of the Lord, the arm is the power, the strength of God. It's similar to the horns of an animal, which is an analogy that's used in both the Old and New Testament. Those horns represent not only the beauty of the animal, but the strength of the animal. I mean, if you tangle with the antelope's antlers, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And so he said, does anybody believe my report? The strength of the report. In other words, the healing and the salvation and the peace that comes from the report. Did you get that? Well, where does the strength of the report come from? From believing it. From just believing it. Just saying, well, Has anybody ever told you something you weren't inclined to believe? Wayne had a business customer. He retired from the city of Lakeland and did furniture for 10 years. And he had a customer wanting him to do something. And the whole time that man's talking, I'm thinking, no, 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 no. I used to sing that to my granddaughter when she's real little. No, 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 no. She's very smart. She's fixing to be 30 this week. And one day she looked at me, tiny, about this big, and she said, yes, 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 yes. She had that all figured out. The just shall live by faith. You live by your faith, and you don't draw back, and you don't retreat. You hold on to the word. You find the word that is your solution, and you don't turn loose of that word, and you don't let anybody talk you out of the word. Hallelujah. Now, I've told you over and over what they do. You look awful. Do you feel all right today? They talk you right out of faith. Have you not been there? I won't say any more. And here's my favorite parts, verse 39. We are not of them who draw back. No, I'm not retreating. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Hebrews 10:39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. The word perdition simply means loss. Have you ever been to Rock City? See Rock City? Well, my daddy went to school in Chattanooga, so we lived there a year when I was 5 years old. And in Rock City, there are no barriers or fences on the edge of the... You can go right out to the edge of the mountain and look down, you know, well, hundreds, thousands of feet. I mean, it's just right there. You have to watch your footsteps. You have to be sure that you don't step too far out. And any time I turn loose of the word, I'm too far out. Now, there was a case where a man fell off of a mountain and he fell into a tree. And it wasn't a big tree. It was just a little bitty tree. It just was sticking outside the mountain and it wasn't very big. But I'm telling you, he had a grip on that tree. I mean, he's holding fast. And that's what it says. If you believe the report, who believes the report? Who is the strength? The report has great strength. It has great power. It redeems. It heals. It makes whole. It does makes you do well. And like that man on the side of the mountain, you hold fast to that report. Because the more I hold to that report, the more the strength of that report filters into my body. And it's all by what? Faith. Just shall live by. Now look at Romans 10. Let me show you something you probably never thought of. You know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me ask you, if you hear, does faith always come? Huh? Yes. Yes. If you hear, does faith always come? Yes. Now watch it, this is a trap. Okay. Look at verse 18. Talking about Israel. Haven't they heard? And the translator said, yes. You see that? Yes, they heard. They heard, but they lost. They did know. They did understand. And then it says in the next verse, didn't Israel know? One translator says, yes, they did understand. What happened? They did hear. They did know. They did lose. Here's your answer. It's in the final verse. To Israel, he saith, all day long. I love that. I love that. Here's God all day long reaching out for you. Reaching out for you. Reaching out for you. All day long, I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, you understand disobedient, but gainsaying is not a word we use. It's to speak against. In other words, you're always contrary to what God is saying. That's really easy to do when you're in pain. Really easy to do when the doctor says, you know, and the doctor's walking by sight. He's not walking by faith in God. You need to keep that in mind and pray over everything he says to make sure that he's made the right decision by sight. That's really important. Not too many of them are walking by faith in God. They're walking by faith in the machine and the reading that came off of the machine and the lab work. You got that? That's why you pray and you say, Lord, you're my physician. And that's in Exodus. You're my physician. And you go with me. You walk with me. And I'm listening to what you would say as he gives me his report. Now, it says they were disobedient and gainsaying. Gainsaying is your words. God says yes, and you say, well, I don't know because I'm in a lot of pain. Well, I don't know because the doctor said. Anytime I contradict the report of the Lord, I'm putting myself... Have you ever put on the wrong shoes? My mother was a telephone operator. You know the kind that on Andy Griffith, they plug things in, wires in, that kind of thing. World War II and the first parts of her life. She's plugging and unplugging, you know, those cords. Well, you get those cords plugged into the wrong place, you ain't got the person that you want to talk to. Now, Mother had a phenomenal memory, phenomenal memory. And she worked Kelly Girl when she retired because she didn't think retirement was a really big deal. And I could tell you why that was, but we won't go into that. And so most everywhere she worked, the Kelly Girl sent her to work 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. They wanted to hire her because she remembered. In an hour, she could have everybody's phone number and name memorized in a very large office, and they figured out. See, but you don't have to do that. All you have to do is lean on the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside. He said, I'll bring it to your remembrance. That's in John 14. I'll bring it. I'm so glad. You know, sometimes I open the refrigerator, I can't even remember what I'm standing there for. Have you done that? I have, I'm thinking. Or I go down the hall and I think, now why was I here? Why was I here? And I begin to search. I have to cook several days a week. You know, that becomes traumatic when you're my age. Y'all knew that, right? My mother was a good cook. My grandmother was an award-winning Georgia cook. And I'm a decent cook, but I don't like cooking. And so when I fix lunch, chances are I'm not fixing supper. I don't do but one meal a day. But I'm standing there saying, Holy Spirit, what would we like for lunch or supper? Holy Spirit, usually fix lunch. You know you're supposed to eat breakfast like a king. How does that go, Suzanne? Lunch like a
queen. I never heard this one. I don't know.
And supper like a pauper. Breakfast like a king and lunch like, maybe it's, I don't know what that was. I forget. In other words, you're supposed to start large. Seeing if I start large in the Word, you thought I'm drifting. But I start large in the Word, and I continue to read the Word and read the Word and read the Word, because faith comes by hearing. And I'm committed. Israel wasn't committed to the Word. Turn to Hebrews 2. They had the promise of God. They knew the promise of God. This says, didn't they understand what God was wanting them to do? This says, yes, they did. They could have walked in faith, but they didn't. Well, we've never done that, of course. We've never done that. Hebrews 4, it is. Verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest. Rest is the promise of God. It's the delivery of all God wants for you. Lest there be left us a promise of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short. That doesn't refer to your height either. Because in my family, most everybody comes short. So you can come short of the promise. What do you? Did you want to come short, or did you want to live and not die? So I've got to hold on to the promise, even when circumstances say it's not true, it's not true, it's not working, it's not working. And your doctor says, I thought the report would be better. Have they ever said that to you? Or they tell you, this will not be very painful, and you thought you were going to die. Did you have that test? I did. Do you want to come short? Do you want to stand in faith? You want to hold fast? Do you want to see you can't gainsay? You can't speak against what God has said. I don't care how you feel, how it looks to you. You cannot contradict God and win. And any time I speak contrary to the word of God, I'm putting my faith in what I do not want. Did you get that? Unto us was the gospel preached, verse 2, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard it. Faith is, I like instant faith, but faith is usually a process. Faith and patience. Patience is the process. See, there was this little man, Catherine Kuhlman's life. His friend wanted to go to hear her and didn't have transportation, and she asked him to carry her, and so he did. He was a scientist, and they were sitting in the balcony, and she was totally, completely healed. And if you watch Catherine Kuhlman's, you can watch her old films. She would line people up across the stage and ask them, what did God do for you, and talk to them a minute. Well, she talked. He was standing with her. He just was with her because he was her transportation. And she talked to the lady who was healed, and then she talked to him. She said, and what do you want? It's amazing how perceptive people of the Spirit are, isn't it? He said, well, I just came with her. He said, well, I came deaf in one ear, but I can hear out of that ear, but I don't believe what you said. I don't believe at all what you said. And she said, she's very low-key, very kind. She said, but you were deaf in this ear. He said, yes. And now you're hearing this ear. He said, yes. But I don't believe anything you said. You know, I'm a scientist, and I'm paid to disbelief. I can't believe this. But you are hearing. See, she's passing him by now. She's trying to reach the audience. She's trying to reach the people to hold fast. Even if you don't feel anything, sense anything, hold fast. I watched that more than once. We lost the... we borrowed it, and then it disappeared, and she doesn't have it anymore. We would see if we could watch it, but it's just fascinating to watch him deny what's obvious. Now, the reason we deny it is because it's not obvious, because I just don't feel any better. But if we're going to live by faith, we're going to live by the Word of God. Now, turn to Ephesians 2. See, we kind of had the impression from our teaching that faith is automatic. You read the word, you automatically are in faith. But you've got to act on your faith. You've got to step forward in faith. You've got to hold fast that faith. You can't contradict the word of the Lord and receive what you're believing for. Now, what did I tell you? Ephesians chapter 2. Wayne, would you bring me a marker? Thanks. There are three enemies. I want you to look at them. We have three enemies here to your faith, enemies of faith, where wrong information could come, where you could be confused, where you could get offline. You want to be offline or online? Have you ever played hopscotch?
Yes.
Thank you, dear. It's easy to miss the square. There are three enemies. We're going to repeat God, no matter what my body says, what my family says. I'm going to repeat God. I'm not going to gainsay. I'm not going to speak against the Word of God. I'm not going to rehearse my symptoms. Now, if you live with Wayne, it's easy not, because he's going to correct you.
Amen.
He said one time, would you like to rephrase that? I thought, okay, here's the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I've got to eliminate their influence in my life. I've got to stick with the word. Now the world, and that's in verse, we'll start with verse 1, chapter 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Talking about the new birth, talking about being born again, being made alive unto God through your confession of Jesus as Lord. Said you were dead, but see you're not dead anymore, you're alive. And God lives in you, and the Holy Ghost is in you to teach you and to bring things to your remembrance. And I'm supposed to lean on God at all times and lean on the helper that he gave me and stick with the word that he has said. It doesn't matter how I feel, whether I feel better or don't feel better. Precious lady was diabetic, insulin dependent, and I was in a place of business. She was a friend of my family's, but I didn't know her really well, and she knew who I was, and she said, I didn't need my insulin today. I didn't need my insulin today. I've been believing God, believing God, believing God, and this is the first time that my sugar level was normal. She was a, serious diabetic. Not that any of it's not serious. When they take your chocolate cake away, you're serious. Isn't that right, Miss Melinda? And she was so excited. Next time I saw her, she said, 2 days I didn't have insulin, and then my sugar went way up. I had to have my insulin shot on the third day. Do you think that moved her? Do you think that caused her to doubt? She was as anchored the day she had to go back to insulin as she was the day that she didn't have to have it. She was anchored. She was holding fast. And that's when I have to be anchored. On a good day, easy to anchor on a good day, said, yeah, I feel a lot better today. I just really, I had migraines till I was 30 years old. I mean the kind where you're not certain you want to live or not. You know those kind? And my mom would close all the blinds, turn all the noise perfectly silent, and my brother and sister were supposed to tiptoe, don't make any noise, couldn't stand noise. The slightest noise sounded like thunder and lightning, you know. Well, you become medically dependent. And we're glad they had a solution. Those days they had a solution until they took it off the market. When Wayne and I got married, my prescription ran out, and I went to the local doctor off base, and he said, well, I can't give you that anymore. They've taken it off market. They found it was narcotic. So it's gone. See, I became dependent on the wrong thing. I became dependent on the drug and on my mama. Now, we are a non-alcoholic family from generations. Nobody drinks anything alcoholic. But my mother, in desperation one day, sorry, Mother, I'm going to tell this. My mother's in heaven. In desperation one day, she went next door because she knew they were drinkers and said, did they have any solution? And they gave her a tablespoon of blackberry wine. Do you know why? I don't know anything. Mama didn't know anything either. Tablespoon. I was out of it for 2 days.
Power off.
So I became real dependent. And then the medicine is gone. And Mama's in Florida, and I'm with Wayne in Georgia, and he didn't know anything about migraines. I had to turn. Where did I have to turn to? The place I should have been turned to all along, in Almighty God. This is the truth. The day I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I never had another migraine after that. I was 30 years old. I've not had one since. I'm a lot more than 30 today. I had two or three opportunities that I passed by. I could sense it coming. You can sense migraines coming, generally speaking. And I sensed it coming. I took a faith stand, which is a stand if I had known. But we didn't know anything except John 3:16. We grew up on John 3:16, the Roman road of salvation. That's all we knew. And I was learning to become dependent on the great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the wounded heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. The voice of God says, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So I don't feel healed, and you don't look it either. Get over it. I said, well, maybe I'm going to die. I said, congratulations, you made it. That's how I feel. One precious lady just said yesterday, I was here, she said she wanted it tattooed on her body. Do not resuscitate. I loved that. I understand where she's coming from. I watched my mother die of starvation in less about 60 pounds, and it was not traumatic as it would have been for somebody else because I knew her heart. I knew she didn't want to live. And I knew the gates of heaven would open for her. And they did. I saw them. I saw them open. It's amazing. Now look.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. In times past, when? This is talking about when you were a sinner. This is how sinners act. And when we see Christians acting this way, we need to say, no, 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 no. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world. That means in times past, when you were a sinner, see, now that you've been changed and you are alive unto God and you're born again, you're not supposed to act like you used to.
Amen.
And the world says this is what we're doing. We're all doing it. Now, you watch the fashion world. Is that some of the most ridiculous things happen? And then Everybody's doing it. It just amazes me. And I don't want to contradict any modern fashion, embarrass anybody. So let's go back to bell-bottom jeans. You remember those?
Yes.
Wide at the bottom, long to the floor, walk all over them, rip them apart with your feet. And next thing you know, did anybody do that? Do we have any bell-bottoms people? Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. Next thing you know, they're ripped to shreds. And the whole world's doing it. And I watch some of the things the world do, and I want to say, really? No, no, no. Not here. Oh, the fashion world. See, we can do what the world's doing. First of all, they're going from doctor to doctor. You check with Jesus. You check with God. Say, where can I get the medical treatment I need? Mm-hmm. Just doing what the world's doing. Everybody's doing it. We're all doing it. That's not where you get your report.
Right.
You begin to follow the world. That's gainsaying. That's speaking against the report of God. That's taking a report that may or may not be true. They may have the truth. They may not have the truth. They may rightly have diagnosed. They may not have rightly diagnosed. You have to know that. There's someone on the inside. Someone on the inside working on the outside. I have to know in the spirit. Said, you wouldn't refuse medical treatment. I already did. It wasn't God. And I knew it wasn't God. Because I submitted to some that wasn't God, and I hated myself. I said, oh, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I should have known you weren't into that treatment. There's someone on the inside. I said, don't gainsay. Don't speak against my word. Don't speak against my report. Don't speak against what I've led you to. Begin to say, by Jesus' stripes. Now, I'm not opposed to doctors. I have one. I go. I don't think he likes to see me coming, but that's another story. Worldly, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, he's not supposed to work in you. You're supposed to be the obedient one who clings to the word of God, who knows what God's saying, to know that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. He sent his word and healed you. No weapon formed against you prosper. You're supposed to know that. You're supposed to rehearse that constantly. You're supposed to say, when Isaiah said, who's believed my report? And you say, I got the report. I believe the report. I believe the report. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. You sent your word to heal me. I believe that. And it says, in times past. That means, as a sinner, that's how you lived. You did what the world was doing. You fall prey to the suggestions of the devil. You read Genesis 3 and you see Eve. Her first mistake was, we covered it last week, she listened to what he had to say. She listened. I can't get mad at anybody but me. Because Wayne and I have been married 57 years. And he knows me well enough to know if I don't agree with him, I say, Wayne, I just can't do that. I can't go in that direction. But he's not going to pull me off course. Nobody's pulling me off course. Nobody's pulling me from what God is saying. Nobody's pulling me out of the Word of God except for me. Worldly, devilish, demonic. In times past, that's what I want you to leave with. In times past, yesterday, as a sinner, before you were quickened and made alive, before you came to the kingdom of God, before you passed out of the darkness into the light, you just did what everybody's doing. And you don't do that anymore because there's someone on the inside. Someone on the inside working on the outside. When you digest the word of God, you know you're a spirit being living in a physical body. We've done this many times. If you're new, I'll draw it for you again. This is the best artwork I can do. Okay, this is the spirit being. Okay, God is a spirit. The word of God is spirit. You are spirit. And the Holy Spirit is spirit that teaches the word. And everything you get on the inside, it goes spirit to spirit to spirit. It's written by God, breathed by God, who is a spirit. He breathed the word of God, which carried his spirit. He places it in my spirit. It goes in my spirit. And the Holy Spirit who lives in me begins to explain it to me. And then it begins to fill my spirit and come up to renew my mind so that my mind, my soul, is in line with my spirit. And that's 2 out of 3. Because your body's supposed to be, what's happened to the body? The flesh, scripture says, crucify it. You know what that means? That doesn't mean kill yourself either, and don't try that. Don't even think about it. It's not right. It's not God. The flesh said, well, that's how I felt. That's what I heard. Well, that's what I saw. And it goes by the physical senses. The physical senses are for, write this down, stop signs and red lights. They're not from hearing from God. That's why they had to be crucified. He's trying to tell you your physical senses are not going to lead you in the way of God. They're going to tell you you're in more pain today than usual. I wonder if you're getting worse. He said, no, that's the way the sinner thought. The sinner let his flesh lead him. But said, crucify the flesh. Just know it doesn't hear from God. You hear from God in the Spirit. And the more you read, the more you understand, the more the revelation, the word is inspired by God is the word breath. It's breathed by God. And the more you read, the more you meditate, the more the breath of God, the breath of God begins to fill your spirit and flow into your mind. And you're to hold fast to what God is doing and the word God has given. And not to what the world is saying, the devil is saying. See, one lady, she had a problem, and there was a medical trial thing they do to test new drugs in her neighborhood. And she agreed to do that. And it worked out very, very well for her. I'm talking very well for her. Why? Because it was God for her. She told me about it. So we're not against anything God promotes. Well, the world, the flesh, the devil. Now look at 2 Corinthians, the scripture we read every other week, don't we? Chapter 10. We walk by faith. Faith comes from the Word. And as I begin to read the Word and quote the Word and meditate in the Word and speak the Word and listen to the Word, my faith grows because it says we grow from faith to faith. It says we live by faith. And later Paul said we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, walking is ordinary. Everybody's supposed to walk unless they've been injured or have some disease or something. You're supposed to walk. That's why the word was chosen, is you walk by faith. Because this is what all of us who know God are doing. It's called the faith walk. The faith walk. Now, here's what happens. Verse 5. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, if it's not God's thought, get rid of it. When you cast something down, you throw something down. You don't throw a rock in the pond and then get out there and swim and dive and see if you can retrieve it. We do that with our words. We do that with our mouth, don't we? Mm-hmm. Cast that down. That's the word to demolish, to destroy. Get rid of that thought. It's not God. God said you were healed. Everything that contradicts, every thought that contradicts God. And so I'm going to spend my time in the Word, reading the Word, renewing the Word, quoting the Word, and building a... You know, they build food banks in order to help people in need. We have a distributor not far from our house. And on Tuesday, the cars are lined up to the yin-yang. You know how far that is? Yin-yang's in China, if you didn't know that. And they're just lined up, the food bank. I'm supposed to have a scripture bank right here. Now, we have what we used to call a refrigerator fund that we say because our refrigerator was very, very old, as in very, very old. And when it died, one hurricane killed it. Very opposed to hurricanes that kill refrigerators. And the man came and he said, this refrigerator is a 19, whatever it was, and it's 23 years old, and it is dead. Well, I said, that's fine. And we took our, because we have a fund. We have a refrigerator fund. We have it on store. We were ready. We knew it's going to happen. Sickness is going to happen. You're not likely to escape. I hope you do, but if you do, you write your book so we can know how you did that. But we took the money. I said, get money for the refrigerator fund. I went down, picked out a refrigerator, and we had a new refrigerator, and they brought it. And Ashley, our granddaughter, is going to be 30 this week, knows that occasionally we would take lunch money from the refrigerator fund. See, emergency lunches. We didn't have enough money for lunch. That was the emergency. We didn't have enough money. And she'd say, oh, Mima, what are we going to do for extra lunch money? I said, Ashley, we're putting more money in this fund, and we're going to take lunch money out if we need it, and now we're going to call it the air conditioning fund. Because my air conditioner, somebody said the other day, I can't believe your air conditioner's still working. They used to be able to say to you, I cannot believe you're still living. Because you have the word. You have a word bank. You have the word on file. It's on file. And you know what? Anybody that goes and speaks against my air conditioner, I rebuke them immediately. I said, do not speak contrary words over my air conditioner. Their air conditioner works just fine. It's going to work for a good number of years. You hear that? Do not say ugly things about the air conditioner. And that's what you do about your health. You say ugly things like, one fellow said, well, you know, my daddy died at 40 and my granddaddy barely made 40 and my great-granddaddy, I'll be probably the fourth one in my family that'll die in the 40s. I went, just speak against yourself. Put your faith out there for something you don't even want.
Come on.
We do that so much. Okay. Thank you, Father, for life in our body. In our spirit and in our mind. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we're so grateful. So grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The just shall live by faith.